This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. I'm going to read three verses to you, 1, 2, and 3. And I want you to listen to it very carefully, okay, as I read it. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's cool stuff. Now, you didn't notice it as I read it, and I made you listen carefully, and you did, but you still didn't notice it. That verses 1, 2, and 3 is all one sentence. There's no period anywhere until you get to verse 3, that he might be glorified. Now you move forward to Luke chapter 4. You don't have to go there. Jesus read that same text while he was standing in the synagogue of Nazareth, speaking to people who had rejected his ministry and his authority as Messiah. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Notice that when Jesus read this text, he stopped mid-sentence. He did not finish the sentence. He stopped at to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped. Then the Bible says he closed the book, or he rolled up the scroll and he put it in that ark and he gave it to the minister, as if to say, it's not my job to finish the sentence. It's your job to finish the sentence. I just wished I had about an hour here today, or two. I mean, all you're going to go back to is a rain-soaked yard. But I want to talk to you from this text, the unfinished sentence. The unfinished sentence. God bless you. You may be seated. One thing I learned about Jesus, he never did anything by accident. He was always on purpose. He was always on focus. He always did things because it was important and it was the right thing to do. Every prophetic word of the Old Testament, some of those he didn't have any particular human control over whether they would be fulfilled, as to where he would be born, the conditions in which he would be born in, being brought out of Egypt. All of that was done by the divine providence of God. But there were some prophetic words that he had to participate in, and he had to make the conscious choice to fulfill them in order for that particular prophecy to be fulfilled. And what he was saying in Luke chapter 4, when it was talking about the anointing and that spirit of the anointing that was on his life, He wanted everybody to know only Jesus can do those first five things when it comes to that anointing being on your life to preach deliverance to the captives and believing God for liberty, of setting at liberty them that are bruised, to open up the eyes of the blind. It takes a messianic redemption to bring that to pass. And he's the only one that can affect that in this place here today. I can't fill anybody with the Holy Ghost, but he can. I cannot forgive you of your sins, but he can. I cannot do the things that he can do, but he is here today to do all of these things. And the Spirit of the Lord is in this house declaring the word of God. If it's not God's word, then he's not obligated to do anything in response to it. But if I am preaching God's word and it is anointed of the Holy Ghost, the Lord will show up and he will honor his word. You can be delivered today. You don't have to be in captivity any longer. You don't have to be held bound in the prison house any longer. God can liberate you in this house and you can be free. If the Son of Man has made you free, you are free indeed. Is anybody glad that one day Jesus found you when you were sick and you were a sinner and you were hurting, and he found you and he brought you out of your sin? You can't get rid of that sinful nature, but when you go down in Jesus' name by immersion in water, he removes that old nature and it buries that old nature, and now you can rise to walk in the newness of life. Is anybody walking in newness today, or is this still the same old, same old? I'm walking in newness here today. I know some of you are a little older than others, but praise God, I'm walking in newness here today. I've got a new heart. I've got a new mind. I've got a new destination. I've got a newness of a heart and spirit. Does anybody have that anointing upon you today? And if Jesus gave that to you, if you've got it, the only person, a Pentecostal church can't give you that. There's no Pentecostal church that can give you that. There's no church on this planet that can save you from your sin. Ain't nobody. There's only one thing that can save you from your sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And if it's not affected by the name of Jesus, then there is no forgiveness or remission of sins. Your sins are still in your life without the power of that name and the power of that blood. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. There's nothing like it in all the world. But the book's in your hands, according to Jesus, and you better finish the sentence. Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Yeah, but that's the first part of the sentence. That's what he did for you. He gave you the Holy Ghost. Now, what are you doing with the Holy Ghost he gave you? Have you finished the sentence? And it's very important that you understand these incredible words that Jesus spoke. And the fact that he did not finish that sentence. Now listen to me. It is your job, church, to comfort all that mourn. That means that God wants you to start speaking healing words into other people's life. Instead of putting your arm around people that are hurting and say, oh, I know that it hurts, poor little darling, I know they did you wrong. Instead of sympathizing with them and perpetuating their offense, why don't you say, I'm going to appoint a service in Zion, we're going to the church, and we're going to pray till you get healed. Oh. That would change everybody in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. If the church would quit sympathizing with people and appoint them to be healed in Zion, it would transform Pensacola. This is not hospice where we just keep you comfortable till you die. This is a hospital where we heal you so you can go do the same thing. I wish somebody would listen to me right now. Woo! I wish somebody would help me preach in this house today, because I'm going to tell you, it's time for somebody to rise up and finish the sentence that Jesus put in your hands. He put it in your hands to start speaking these incredible words. Thank God for the preacher and for the healer and the deliverer and the herald and the warrior. Thank God for all of these things. But God also wants us to become worshipers. And if my words and my comfort to people does not produce worship in them, it is not true comfort. You're not comforting anybody. You're not fulfilling your ministry, and you're not fulfilling your mission. The Holy Ghost God has given you is being unused and unfinished work. And God gave you the Holy Ghost so that you could produce worship in other people's hearts. Oh, you've got all of these ashes in your life and all of this past that's hanging on you. Don't worry about that. Instead of reminding them of the past, why don't you take the ashes away? Instead of repeating what's wrong with everybody, why don't you take that away and put on beauty and give them their identity? I'm a worshiper. I'm a praiser. I'm a magnifier of Jesus. Instead of saying, now it's all right, I know you're hurting, now just sit back and don't you worship God. I'm supposed to pour the oil of joy on him. In other words, if I leave you sad, I have not done the will of God. I gotta make you rejoice before I leave you, because I've been appointed and anointed. I said, I've been appointed and anointed to produce worship in people, not sit there and be offended for the rest of your life over stuff that's happened 30 years ago. It is the will of God for you to come out of that mess and say, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I would to God somebody would worship up in this house. I wish somebody would look. Yes, you can clap your hands. Yes, you have a right to enjoy your life no matter who's mad at you. Yes, you have a right to have beauty and an identity in Jesus regardless of who's rejected you. Why? Rise up right now. Quit letting the world put shame on you. You're a child of the King, baptized in Jesus' name. But in order to be a worshiper, I can't just ask you to worship. I've got to put before you the object of your worship, of who you are worshiping, of how precious Jesus really is. To share with you in the spirit my firm conviction that the apostolic doctrine and lifestyle is the best way to survive the onslaught of worldliness. To encourage you to know and to grow in the grace and knowledge and disciplines of Christ as much as the Spirit can lead you. To tell you that each of you are absolutely beautiful in God's sight. Man, y'all look so good today. On a Sunday morning, I mean, you look a little water-soaked, but you're beautiful. That he has great plans for you. To say that you shouldn't be afraid, but only trust in God for him to unfold that plan. Yes, hell is hot. There is a day of vengeance. There is going to be judgment against sin. But heaven's going to be worth every sacrifice. I'm sorry, church, you're just not going to go far without worship. You were made for worship. You were made to show forth the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. You were made to offer up sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. You were created to love the one who first loved us. I think you ought to take some time to enjoy church and enjoy worshiping Him and enjoy having the opportunity to pray for somebody and say, I know you're hurting, but I've got an appointment on a Sunday morning. We're going to bring you to the altar. That's what the sisters did for me back yonder. They didn't let me pout through my teenage years. There was no entitlement at the First Pentecostal Church in Lake Charles. Brother, they got a hold of me and said, you going to pray until you pray through. I would to God we could get back to some of that. I'd grab a hold of you. I wouldn't be able to get nothing to eat. I'd have to send somebody to Popeyes to get me some chicken in order to be able to complete the rest of the week. We'd be in a call to war until Jesus comes. But I would shake you until your teeth rattle. But I'm not going to let you go home until you know you have been appointed for a miracle in this service. And God gave us the Holy Ghost to do that. God gave me the Holy Ghost to turn you into a worshiper. I wish somebody would start enjoying themselves. I wish somebody could smile every once in a while. I wish somebody would just walk in here regardless. And I know we're busy. I know all of you are busy. You're just busy bees doing this and that and the other. An old Polish proverb goes like this. God put me on this world to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now I'm so far behind I may never die. I know, Martha, you're all busy. You want to take care of everything. Get the rooms ready for Jesus and his disciples. Go ahead, get your fresh linens and all the guest rooms. Make certain that there's enough towels. Go to the market. Make sure you got enough food and vegetables and fruit in order to serve Jesus. But Martha, one more thing. You better learn how to worship before you do all of that, because the best part is worship. Some of y'all don't have any time for a praise break, and you have no time for rejoicing. God's got to do some super spooky thing in your life. You got to have some special evangelist before you can rejoice in the Lord. That's ignorance. You can rejoice in the Lord right now if you'll just appoint it. You got enough holy. I'm going to finish the sentence for you. I'm going to finish the sentence for you. Since you can't finish it, you can appoint yourself right now for a miracle and say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul. I believe this, that one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to get us to think that we're too busy to enjoy life, too busy to worship God, and too busy to rejoice. But your worship preserves you. Your worship keeps the enemy at bay. Jehoshaphat, you better get ready. Tomorrow morning we're going into battle. But I'm telling somebody here today that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. You need to get the family up early. Y'all get up to go to school, so you might as well eat you a good breakfast and get ready. But send out the singers first, because we're going to praise our way into victory here. And we're going to rejoice our way into victory. But you don't know what I've been going through, poor little darling. No, I'm going to take those ashes and those excuses away from you and tell you you're a child of God. You got more authority than that. Take authority over that spirit. That circumstance isn't in control of you. You're in control of that circumstance. Don't you let that offense beat you down any longer. I'm just doing my job. I'm finishing the sentence. I got the book. Woo! Hallelujah. Y'all ain't got the book? I got the book. He gave the book to me, and I'm fixing to put some oil on your wounds. Judah better go first. Let your praise fight for you. Many people have been spared from irreparable harm because of their worship. When their backs were against the wall, there was nothing else they could do. They began to praise and magnify the Lord. They lost themselves in the power and the work of God's worship, because that's what real, true ministry is supposed to produce in you, is a worshiper who's got joy. I can tell whether or not you're worshiping is when you've got joy. When you're rejoicing, when you're enjoying it, when you're glad, when you're thankful and you are blessing the Lord. Man, I'm so glad to be at the First Pentecostal Church on this Sunday morning, and I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. The water is everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? The thunder, the lightning. Praise God. I didn't get hit, although I was walking in it yesterday. I didn't get hit. Thank the Lord. It was flashing all around me, but God spared my life. And I'm just rejoicing. You say, is everything going your way? Certainly not. Got still a lot of enemies, outnumbered, outgunned, but I've still got a God who's bigger than my enemies. I've still got mean people, mean as snakes, and God won't shoot them in the leg, but I'm still got something to rejoice about, because Jesus died and he rose again. I have his name and I got the book. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish the sentence in the house. It's time for you to get on your oil of joy and start acting like you know who Jesus is, and you are a blessed people. Speak that blessing out of your lips and bless somebody in this house. Would you please finish the sentence? You don't know what a beating I'm taking. Well, let's go to Acts 5 and 40. Okay, Acts 5 and 40. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded, don't you speak in the name of Jesus. And let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Thank God they left. At least you can leave. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Amen. Now, I expect to get shamed by the world. I expect to get shamed. But sometimes people who are Pentecostal by name, but they are dead, and they only live a certain culture, but they're not truly Pentecostal. They'll try to shame you for being apostolic. I didn't just say that, did I? They'll try to shame you for clapping your hands when you're not supposed to, standing when you should be sitting down, praising God when you should be doing other things. But I'm going to tell you right now, I am not ashamed of the gospel of his name. And I'm going to put on. I'll tell you why you're heavy today. You haven't worn your garment of praise in so long. That's why you're heavy. You need to take off that spirit of heaviness. And I'm fixing to take that spirit off of you. Woo! Hallelujah. So I'm going to take it off of you, because you can't. I'm not going to let you mourn today, that spirit of heaviness. No, you're not going to have it. He said, but you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what's going on, so don't tell me. Hallelujah. But I'm going to put on a garment of praise. I'm going to make you a garment of praise. You're not going to be, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm going to put on a garment of praise. I'm going to give him a garment of praise. I wish you'd give it. That's your job. That's not God's job. We put that with God. He'll do the first five things, but you need to finish the sentence. You take off that spirit of heaviness. Come on over. Come on, brother. You know what they used to do to me? They used to get me by the hand and run me around the church. Boy, that scared y'all. Lord, y'all hush. That's what they used to do to me. I mean, I went to church and they, brother, if I wasn't worshiping, they'd come get me and say, you're not going to sit there like that. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you, okay? Calm down. Go ahead, smile, breathe, you're all right. I'm not going to do that. That's a cultural thing. I understand. But that was their way of for finishing the sentence.
Right, right.
But you need to get the heaviness off of you.
Come on.
And you need to quit letting the devil beat you down over every little thing that goes wrong in your life. And you need to put on the, and there's no better way to defeat heaviness than to put your own garment of praise on and say, I'm appointing it. Quit waiting for it to get spooky around here. Ooh, that's the only time you can praise God. That's crazy. You'll never praise God if you're waiting on some spooky thing to come along. This ain't spooky. This is Holy Ghost and fire. And we have the Holy Ghost, and I can appoint. I appoint you to a garment of praise right now. Get it on. Get your praise hat on and move. Ha. Just get your praise hat on. Come on. Get your praise hat on and say, I'm not heavy any longer. I'm still going through it. I've been beat, but I'm going to rejoice that I'm counted worthy. Offense and tell them to get right with God and get healed. Amen. I'm going to finish the sentence. I can't believe Jesus was so, whatever, to not finish the sentence. It's crazy. Whenever Christians were put on trial and executed, they were placed and burned on crosses. And what was amazing to the Romans is that they heard them singing while they were dying. Have you ever been around a true apostolic Christian when they're going to see Jesus? Right at that moment, I've been with several. Right there at that moment where they're singing. And they're praising God. Hallelujah. You said, well, they're out of their mind. Well, they're out of this world. Praise God. Yeah, they might be out of their mind, but they're going out of this world. They're leaving the ashes behind. And they're about to enter into the beauty and to the blessing of the Lord. There ain't nothing to cry about. That's something to shout about. I like it when people tell me, I don't want no sad nothing at my funeral. Let's celebrate. I'm home. And I think that's the way Pentecost needs to be. We need to start celebrating this thing because we're not long for this world. But I say, thank you, Jesus. Paul and Silas, you're in bad shape, brothers. You've been beaten. Locked up in a Roman jail, and it's midnight. You're bleeding. I would advise you to be very careful of infections. Avoid looking directly in the eyes of the fellow prisoners. They're all crazy. Write home to tell everyone where you're at. Make sure you make it sound as bad as it really is. Eat whatever's put before you. Try to get some sleep if you can. But one more thing, it's time to praise Him. Praise God. Learn to worship. And this is what I'm going to tell you. Don't let the enemy get the best of you in your trials. Everybody here's got trials. If I could do away with them, brother, I'd be all over it with every authority I've got. But I cannot appoint you to no trials. But I can appoint you to worship in the midst of your trial. It's all right to go ahead and say, well, I'm just tired of pretending. I'm just not going to pretend anymore. I'm hurting and I'm going to let everybody know about it. And if you come up here, I'll claw your eyes out if you tell me anything different. I'll just sort of give me my coat back. Amen. I'll just have to hand it to you at a distance. It's like Brother Tenney used to say, you're like a porcupine. You got a lot of good points, but nobody can get close to you. Woo! I'm preaching up in here right now. I'm all in your Kool-Aid, and you know it. You're looking, oh, what's he going to hit on next? He done got me between his sights, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're about to have an earthquake in Pensacola. And if you'll start praising in the midst of your trials, you'll find out God will bless you and deliver you from your trials. There's about to be a jailbreak in this house, and you're not going to, you might be there now, but you're not going to stay there. Hallelujah. Don't get wrapped up in yourself. Come on and give that sacrifice of praise. Give that sacrifice of praise. I want you to be renewed in your spirit to where that heaviness no longer holds you down. I want to change those filthy garments before the throne like Joshua, the high priest, when that angel was spoken to by God to go change his garments. Now Joshua understood, and that's what Jesus was telling us, because you've got to have that kind of change of identity in order to be able to do this. You got to know who you are. You got to understand the power of the blood, because as long as you're letting your past hold you back and what you didn't do yesterday or what you should have done or could have done or would have done, you don't understand the power of the blood. You listen to some people, they'll talk you out of everything just to make themselves feel better, and that's all that is. That's just to make themselves feel better. I'm not going to talk you out of nothing. I want you to appoint the blessing in somebody's life here today, and this is what I believe with all my heart. You can be healed right now. This is a miracle service from here on out. You're about to experience a miracle. I declare it. Now it's up to you to come get it. Now if you come up here crying and sad and everything's wrong and I'm never going to get out of this and nobody ever loves me and nobody wants me around, well, you can understand that now. You can understand that now. Now you need to put on some praise and some joy. You know what? I might be beaten, but I'm still rejoicing. I might be down, but I'm still loving Jesus. I might be cast down, but I'm not out of it. See, you got to get this identity. You got to get the beauty. You need to find out how beautiful you really are. It's what my little grandkids say. You need to find out how beautiful you are. So beautiful. You need to find out your beauty in Jesus. Yeah, we're all different. We all got different back. We all think differently. It's all right. I still love you. Some of you are crazy. That's all right. Some of you, I don't know what to say about you. Just, you're there. Praise God. You're here, but you're not all there. I don't know. It's just whatever. You got all kinds in Pentecost. That's what it's all about. And when you learn how to work together and love one another, forgive one another, and praise God anyhow, that's what makes this gospel work. Come on, put it under the blood. It ain't worth going to hell over. Come on, put it under the blood. There's hypocrites in the church. Sure there are. Always going to be hypocrites, but you're welcome here. You might just get yourself a garment of praise in the house. So if you're looking at other people, you're looking at the wrong thing, because I'm not worshiping people, I'm worshiping Jesus. Say, well, I want a pure church, Brother Kinsey. Well, if you want that, then you're going to have to leave it, because that would make it more pure right there. Because there's no such thing. Everybody's in process, everybody's in progress, and everybody needs Jesus. And you're not any better off than anybody out there on the street, because you're not smarter, you're not better. God was just graceful to you, and he was merciful to redeem you from your sin and give you the truth of the oneness of God and the power of God. That's something. Just the fact that you still believe that there's one God is a powerful truth. And the world, I think you ought to put on that garment of praise no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what isn't right, no matter who isn't right. You ought to put that garment of praise on. You ought to let somebody appoint you. So you just need to all stand. We need to practice this right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to let you be heavy anymore. Turn to him again and say, you're going to put on that garment of praise before you leave here. Turn to him again and say, I'm not petting your grievance. If you tell me your grievance, turn to him right now and say, I'm going to pray you through to the Holy Ghost. That'll shut him up. And we'll stay here all day. I'm not going to let you go. We got security in the house. I'll hold you down. Woo! Hallelujah! I've got a good God. I know who you are. You're a child of the King. You might have issues and problems, but you're still my people. The people of God. You're my kind of people. You're the people of God. It doesn't excuse wrong behavior, doesn't excuse anything, but it gives you a way to be transformed. Because the word appoint not only means to schedule an appointment, it also means transformation, where you can transform. You have permission because of what Jesus did, not because of what. I'm just finishing the sentence, church. Don't get mad at me. You can't be God's planting. That's why you feel uprooted all the time. Because you won't allow God to appoint you a time in Zion when he gives you this blessing. And you've got to do it. If you need a miracle in your life, I want you to step out and I want you to walk to the front, because God is going to do the miracle right now in your life. He's going to do the miracle right now. We're going to finish the sentence here. Step out by faith. You need a healing in your physical body. You need a miracle in your finances. You need a miracle in your relationships. You need a miracle on your job. You need a miracle with difficult people that you're dealing with in conflicts that you can't resolve by any means that you have or you know of. There are conflicts that you cannot resolve on your own. And any effort that you make to resolve that conflict is only going to make it worse. Anything you do. Except learn how to put on the garment of praise and find that oil of joy. You're going to start enjoying your salvation. And quit letting the devil beat you down over everything that's not right. Because as long as I've been alive, there's always been something not right. I've had people, you know, they're inflicted by that spirit. Something wrong. They're inflicted by the something's wrong spirit. Well, let me just settle your mind. There's always something wrong. There ain't never been in my whole life where there hadn't been something wrong. You got to learn to deal with that spirit. Because that spirit will eat your joy up, it'll eat your praise up, and it'll kill your miracle. Just like that. I've seen it happen in people's lives. It'll kill their miracle. Anything God's done in those first five things he lined out and he spoke that sentence before he closed that thing up and handed it to the preacher. And that's not just the speaker in the room. That's the whole body of Christ now, because every one of you are ministers. And if you're not comforting all that mourn, there's no exceptions. Everybody here is appointed to this. All. If you're hurting, if you got wounds, disappointments, pain of the past, whatever it is, right now, today, in Zion, your garment of praise is coming on you. Now, I want you to turn to somebody around you, because you're going to minister. You're going to comfort all that mourn. That's your job. If you're not doing that, you haven't finished the sentence. You're not in the book, and you're not in apostolic divine order. Divine order is he does the first five things, you do the sixth thing. That's his order. He established in the kingdom his order. Ha! Go ahead. Don't stop. I want you to let the Holy Ghost right now. I appoint you. Your pain is going to be delivered. You're going to experience God's blessing in your life right now.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us if you have any questions. We would be delighted to hear from you, and we can be found at firstpent.org. That is FIRSTPENT.org. And we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.